Hello, I'm Guillermina Gonzalez, Executive Director of the Delaware Arts Alliance, your host for today. And with me, a good friend of this program, Ryan Grover, curator of the Biggs Museum of American Art. And today's conversation, always fascinating with you. Ryan, welcome to the show, but particularly is related to the Clark Fox Icon Chains exhibition. That sounds not only fascinating, but a must in this fall time, don't you think?
Thank you for having me. Absolutely. The we deliberately scheduled this somewhat controversial set of exhibitions in conjunction with the election season. So
it is very pertinent.
Give people a lot to think about.
Is this a kind of art exhibition that makes people feel uncomfortable, you think?
There might be moments where individuals are confronted with concepts that will cause them to think. I don't feel that anybody will necessarily walk away feeling uncomfortable or even necessarily changed in their perspective one way or another. But Clark Fox is he is a social protester. He is he is an advocate of a lot of causes, and he his voice is through painting, and so he does these really sort of fanciful, somewhat playful, very bright, pop-oriented, pop image-oriented paintings around rather controversial issues having to do with race relations, child exploitation, capitalist greed, corporate power. He's kind of all over the place, and he's a pretty interesting dude.
Well, there you go. And we're going to continue talking about that. For those who might be a good idea, Ryan, if you refresh people's memories in terms of the mission of the Biggs and how that connects perhaps to this particular exhibition, the location of the Biggs and things like that.
Fantastic. The Biggs Museum, we're coming up on our 25th year anniversary. Sort of the countdown to the 25th is beginning. And the Biggs was established in order to be able to show American art, first and foremost, with a special emphasis on the Delaware Valley. We tell a lot of stories about the state of Delaware with the things that were made and used within the state of Delaware from about 1700 up to the present.
Okay.
And so we do have a big sort of feature exhibition, sort of changing exhibitions program. We have a lot of shows, a lot of publications that come through every year. And Clark Fox is one of those. Clark and his partner, Suzanne Taylor, had been moved to Dover part-time for the last several years, taking care of elderly parents. And so I met Clark through the Biggs Museum and got to know his work. But Clark really sort of originates more from the sort of the art scenes of Washington, D.C. originally, and then eventually more heavily entrenched into New York City.
Right. So this particular exhibition, Icon Chains, is going to run from where to where, from when to when, and so people are mindful about the timing associated.
Sure. So it's two shows. Icon Chains is sort of split into two sort of exhibitions. We have a partner program with Delaware State University for show. And so the show that's happening at Delaware State University, it opens on October 6th and it'll go through November 16th.
Okay.
The show that is at the Biggs Museum opens October 7th and goes much longer through January 22nd. And Typology, this is the sort of the shortlist name for the show that's at Delaware State University, that deals with Clark Fox's very early works. Works from the 60s, from the 1970s.
Social unrest, that kind of concept.
And it has more to do with sort of economic inequality.
Okay.
And also, it's also sort of the proving grounds of where Clark comes from in his own style. So you really get the feeling of where he's coming from as a conceptual artist, as a painter, and what his major influences are. You'll see that there at Delaware State University.
Okay.
And the students seem to be eating it up. So I think that it's become a really popular sort of image there, a little different than what they would normally have. And then the show that's at the Biggs Museum, it's a bigger show. It's a brighter show. It's a very fun exhibition at the Biggs, but it focuses more specifically on the work that Clark has done since about 2000 up to the present. Much more contemporary, absolutely.
Okay. And tell me, your place as a curator, it's always a very interesting, you have to know a lot, and you still have to have this artistry concept of things, so you present things in a way that are eye-appealing.
Well, like so many people that went to school for too long, I know a lot about one very, very little thing. Uh-huh. And what I don't know, I just need to have the tools to be able to go and find out. So to be honest with you, I'm not a contemporary art. I don't have a strong contemporary art background in my own academic rearing. But, you know, you have those research tools that you can go and find the articles.
And figure things out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
what is your area of expertise? If you could call, like, that's my thing?
Well, I went to school largely for American art and material culture studies.
Okay.
So this is more the household arts of the 1700s, 1800s.
I see.
So I'm sort of a furniture specialist. I've done a lot with ceramics, those things that you would, the art forms that you hold in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
Since coming to the Biggs Museum about 13 years ago, I've been really heavily entrenched in American painting.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of led me into not only looking at paintings of the 1700s, 1800s, these sort of historical context,
mm-hmm.
but also painters of today. And then mm-hmm. the Biggs Museum, we adopted a group called Delaware by Hand. It was a private nonprofit for a long time, but it became the artist membership of the Biggs Museum. Turns out it's one of the biggest memberships in the state of Delaware for artists. And that has had me working with contemporary artists and contemporary craftspeople
mm-hmm.
really extensively for the last several years.
So and thanks for
I'm
mentioning.
All over the place.
Right. It's always a pleasure to talk to you because you're so into things. But since you mentioned Delaware by Hand, let's briefly say how many members do they have? And for how long have they been a part of the Biggs Museum?
I believe that the membership is somewhere between 150 and 200 right now.
Okay.
And you can go on the website, DelawareByHand.org, and find out more about what those individual artists are. But they're from all over the state. They have been a part of the museum's membership for probably, I want to say it's probably close to 6 years now.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Time flies, my gosh.
Yes, it's true.
So coming back to the Biggs and particularly to Clark Fox and Icon Chains, how do you see the Biggs, I wouldn't say the Biggs particularly, but beginning with the Biggs and from artists in this electoral season, do you think that they should demonstrate something, that they should, is there a connection between arts and politics at this point?
You know, I think that, I think most artists would say that politics are definitely one of the things that they think about when they are creating an artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think of a painting, if you think of a great painting that happens today, it's somewhat of a barometer of so many different cultural,
mm-hmm.
Cultural sort of levels around them. Mm-hmm. Politics are one of them. Economics would be mm-hmm. another thing. Just the state of culture in general. You know, great artwork reflects so many of these different aspects of our own culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and the people that are making those decisions themselves sort of become filtered into the mm-hmm. choices that an artist makes
mm-hmm.
when they're creating great works of art. And so, in a show like with Clark Fox, you know, he very deliberately tackles some very, very heavy issues with his work. And he does so with a really, really playful kind
mm-hmm.
of, with a very playful sort of visual components. But, the work is very appealing to look at, and it sort of seduces you into thinking
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
your relationship to race relations within America or mm-hmm. your relationship to corporate power within America.
Mm-hmm.
And so within the sort of period of the elections, it felt like it was a really good time to be able to give stage to some of the conversations that are happening around Clark's work. You know, this show definitely doesn't advocate for one member of Congress versus another member of Congress.
Right, and that's not the purpose of these. Right.
It's absolutely not the idea. But it is a channel and a funnel to look at some of the larger issues that so many of us are making political decisions with today. And
mm-hmm.
so it's interesting that you are able to then visualize your own thoughts through these artworks that you're encountering here at the Biggs. And it's terrific fun.
And thinking about what's the role of museums these days, and in reflecting on Sam Veal's concept of sometimes art bites,
yeah,
maybe it's your way of biting. I mean, and maybe the Big C is biting in a way that it should resonate with people because it's
you know, so much of the 20th century, I think this is such an important topic. So much of the 20th century art world really helped to focus people's attention on the fact that art doesn't have to be beautiful. It doesn't have to be made in order to be able to be consumed.
Right.
You don't have to like a piece well enough to purchase it to mm-hmm. make it good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes art is good because it is powerful, because it has a strong message. It may not look great above the sofa. It may not even look great inside a museum.
But it makes you think.
Something very provocative to think about. And I think that that's a really powerful position to play. And museums will forever be very interested in showing the most popular, the most beautiful, the most elegant, the most technically rich examples mm-hmm. of artwork. Mm-hmm. But I think mm-hmm. they're also going to be very, very interested in being able to show the most provocative, the most thought-provoking works of art in America today as well.
I would like to get back to right there, but let me re-engage with the audience to let them know that they are listening into Newstalk 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV for the Delaware State of the Arts radio show. We're lucky today to have Ryan Grover, curator of the Mix Museum of American Art, and welcoming you again to the show, Ryan, and always thought-provoking conversations, as you might imagine. Before we go into where we left the conversation, the reason for inviting Ryan is talking about Clark Fox Icon Chains, an exhibition that begins where, Ryan, and when does it end?
So the Icon Chains exhibition at the Biggs Museum will be from October 7th through January 22nd.
Okay, so you're going to have some time to look at this. Concepts related to the exhibition, what is the topic behind this particular exhibition?
Well, Clark Fox's work is he really was birthed his personal aesthetic was very much birthed out of what they call the Washington Color School. This is an abstract art form that came to mm-hmm. prominence in the 1950s into the 1960s, and this was where he sort of launched as an artist mm-hmm. working next to these artists. And so he went from this what they call formalism, this sort of strict abstraction, rather geometric, with no political purpose whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he really launched himself into a much more politically driven, subject-oriented artwork, but with very much the same kind of rules that mm-hmm. were true of the things that he had seen as he was coming up himself in formalism. And then into the 70s, things really started to rotate more towards pop imagery. So some of the things, some of these subjects, some of the characters that he brings out in his paintings are like pop interpretations of George Washington portraits, pop interpretations of Abraham Lincoln,
right.
Mr. Peanut, Mary Jane Candy's logo of the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And with these topics, he's able to talk about really sort of diverse topic, diverse sort of political statements around the long-ranging effects of slavery, Jim Crowism, corporate power, the more negative aspects of capitalism in our culture. And he sort of demonstrates some of these larger ideas, these big, much greater concepts mm-hmm. through these really sort of innocuous, brightly colored, really fun kind of characters. And it's really interesting the sort of the tightrope that he walks between what is pleasurable and mm-hmm. what is mm-hmm. provocative.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your conversations with him,
mm-hmm.
what are you learning?
Everything. The great thing about Clark Fox is that he has met everyone. I mean, he really has worked with so many individuals. He moved to New York in officially moved to New York in, I think, about 1970, 1971.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to, because he was showing in major galleries in New York City, he was being collected by major institutions, both mm-hmm. in D.C., Washington, D.C., and as well as New York. And he was ending up in some major private collections as well. He was in communication with and in circles around some of the greatest sort of late 20th century artists mm-hmm. that we know today. And so he's hung out with everyone. He's lived above apartments of famous punk rock bands. He had met Andy Warhol, didn't really like him that well. Like, he just has these fantastic stories about uh-huh. people that he's met, that he's worked with, that he's collaborated with. And this is a career that's now over 40 years, almost 50 years in the making.
Imagine
so,
that.
Mm-hmm. So he has a lot to reflect on. You know, we have on October 22nd, we have this great opportunity to come and meet the artist. Mm-hmm. And so it's a members event here at the museum. And he's just going to do a sort of a gallery tour through the museum. And I know for a fact that he's just going to be able to go, this painting was inspired from this idea, and this artist came to
see
it.
That sounds fascinating.
We ended up in a fight, and uh-huh. it was awesome. And, and he just has this. Part of the great thing about Clark's work is Clark himself. He's
right.
He's a really, really unique.
He puts context to what was painted.
Well, and he, if you can imagine, considering his very bright palette, that he adds color even to those stories.
Right.
I mean, he's a really, really amazing individual. And, you know, one of the things that I love about him so much is that he humanizes contemporary art.
Right. That's a good way of putting it.
I think so many individuals, even professionals, are somewhat very uncomfortable with conceptual art, with artwork that is very avant-garde, that mm-hmm. is... Sometimes we don't necessarily know what our context is. Sometimes we don't understand what we're looking at. Mm-hmm. Maybe sometimes we just need to take our time with it and just really let it sink in and let it, you know, you can have a whole wide range of emotional responses to an artwork. You should. You mm-hmm. definitely should. But Clark sort of breaks it down. He just says, you know, this guy was eating toast that day, and that's why he picked blue. And all of a sudden, it just sort of makes sense. Oh, of course. Yeah, he's human too. And so he's a very unique, very original personality. And he's great.
Does he live here in Delaware these days?
He is living – right now, he seems to be spending quite a bit of time in Dover, but he still keeps an apartment in New York.
There you go. So we have the connection in between the Big Apple and Dover. Imagine that. We do have.
It's always been there, but he's definitely one of the big stars of that highway right now.
There you go. And coming back to Veal's perspective that art bites.
Yes.
What, in your opinion, is the function of museums these days in this changing nation that we are witnessing right now? What do you think?
You know, I'd like to show an example, if that's possible, of something that we're doing at the museum in context to the Clark Fox exhibitions that I'm very proud of. So they have the two exhibitions, and we brought this work together. We create sort of an interpretive filter mm-hmm. that people coming to the shows will be able to understand Clark's work, understand him a little better.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get a chance to sort of sink into, you know, it's probably about 80 pieces all told that you'll have
okay.
sort of direct relationship with. But then we're also helping to host a panel discussion mm-hmm. between Clark Fox, another artist, a faculty member at Dell State University, mm-hmm. who also deals very heavily with politically charged artwork, and then two other professors from Dell State University that are talking about their own particular expertise having to do rather strongly with the intersection of culture, history, and African-American experience.
Okay.
And so these panelists, these individuals will be sitting on a table sort of talking about the intersections of the fine arts mm-hmm. with political discourse
mm.
and the things that we've seen, anything from ad campaigns of the Black Panther Party of the 1960s
mm-hmm.
to controversial designs for political presidencies today
mm-hmm.
or artistic reactions to controversial moments in history.
Mm-hmm.
And so this intersection of politics and art will be sort of channeled in this panel discussion and sort of reflecting this larger exhibition project that we're having. And I think that that's when you are able to bring audiences together around very specific topics
mm-hmm.
and show tangible evidence of those materials within mm-hmm. the arts, mm-hmm. and you have that intersection of ideas and people and voices all together in a big auditorium under a museum, it's
right.
fantastic.
So it's a community service. It's beyond the artist expression of something to become more of a point of contact / community engagement.
Absolutely. You know, nonprofit organizations exist by the by the support and the through the support of the community.
Mm-hmm.
And we are really an example of what we call the public trust. And mm-hmm. so we are there as a benefit, as a service, really. We people that work for museums are servants to the community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, I tell people at the Biggs Museum, we're here to save the world one object at a time. So we preserve
True.
These things forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not necessarily just the objects. We preserve the ideas tied to those objects. And so, mm. you know, we create publications, we create panel discussions, we create lecture series, we support all sorts of kids' education. And we do this as a day-to-day process at
mm-hmm.
the museum. And there are literally something in the neighborhood of like 17,000 museums across the country that are doing very much the same mission.
Right. So it's quite changing. It's not like let's just bring the important people to our walls, but essentially playing a role within the community.
Absolutely. You know, bringing the artwork and throwing it up on a wall is actually kind of the easier part of the show.
Right.
Of the overall show. It's this sort of the seamless educational mission behind
mm-hmm.
the appearance of things
mm-hmm.
that seems to be so important within our institution.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supported by the literature. It's supported by the public presentations, the lectures, by
mm-hmm.
panel discussions, all of these things that
mm-hmm.
we adapt. And again, we do dozens of these things every month. And so this intellectual content, this production of intellectual content for our community,
right.
we take that really seriously.
Indeed. And for people that are engaging with us a little bit later than expected, please refresh their memories in terms of Clark Fox, Icon Chains, from where to where, and when and how for the few seconds we have left.
Absolutely. So Clark Fox, two exhibitions. Typology is at Delaware State University from October 6th to November 16th. And the big show, Icon Chains, will be at the Biggs Museum of American Art from October 7th to January 22nd.
So if they need to get more information, just going to the website, Ryan?
www.biggsmuseum.org.
And with that, something that comes to mind after looking at this particular exhibition.
Oh, I think you're going to be really delighted. I think
it's contemporary. I like how you define that, contemporary art being humanized.
Absolutely. These are subjects, they are visions, they are sort of characters that everyone is going to recognize. They are iconic. That's the where we got the title for the piece for.
Mm-hmm.
But the sort of subtle messaging that he puts behind them will be provocative. It's those messages that you'll take from the show.
And with that, we have to thank you again for your time, Ryan, and I hope everybody goes to see that wonderful exhibition.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.